Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
We here in America think we've had it hard with the coronavirus shutdowns. Some states are still putting severe restrictions on church gatherings. But is what we've gone through in the last 6 months really persecution compared to what many Christians around the world have to endure simply for their faith? My guest today is Todd Nettleton. He's Chief of Media Relations and Message Integration and host of VOM Radio. Thanks, Todd, for being with us.
You are welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. What is the overall mission of Voice of the Martyrs? Give us some background information on that organization.
Well, Voice of the Martyrs is a ministry to persecuted Christians. Our founder, Pastor Richard Wormbrand, actually was a persecuted Christian. He spent 14 years in prison in communist Romania. And so he established the ministry really to be a bridge, I think, between the church in free nations like the United States and the church in hostile and restricted nations around the world. And so 52 years later, that's what we're still doing. Going into hostile and restricted nations, taking help, taking encouragement, taking training, and then bringing out the stories of our brothers and sisters who are suffering. And not stories of just suffering, but stories of victory, stories of their victorious service of Christ, even in the face of persecution.
So, you know, Christians have complained, rightfully so, here in America about the coronavirus, you know, the shutdowns and churches can't meet and such as that. But really compared to what's going on around the world, are we being persecuted here in the U.S. because of the coronavirus?
You know, I would not call what we're undergoing persecution in comparison mm-hmm. to a place like China, in comparison to a place like Iran, certainly not in comparison to a place like North Korea. I think we are starting to see what we might call harassment. That the culture is no longer pro-Christian, pro-biblical values, and the church is becoming more counterculture. And this is a great time for people to find out about our persecuted brothers and sisters because they know what that's like, and they know how the church can function and how the church can make an impact.
Mm-hmm. You know,
one of the stories that I have been sharing this week. As we have had the election, and you know, a lot of Christians were very concerned about, okay, what's this going to mean? What's going to happen? Mm-hmm. I've talked about the Iranian Revolution in 1979. The mullahs literally took over the government of Iran. The government said, we're basically going to use the Quran as our constitution. And if you were a Christian in Iran at that time, you thought, well, what's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to the church? If you were a Christian outside of Iran praying for the church, you thought, boy, this is terrible. This is the worst thing that could happen to the church. But if we fast forward 40 years to today, the fastest growing church in the world is in the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Oh, wow.
And so even as we see our culture turning against us, we need to take heart because sometimes that's the time when God grows the church the most.
Right, because we definitely see churches. I didn't realize Iran, the church in Iran was the fastest growing in the world. But I do know that persecuted churches, or rather countries that persecute Christians, that is where the church is growing the fastest. And I believe here in America, we've become complacent in not fully grasping who God is and what Scripture says. And I think we need to definitely become more biblically literate as Christians here in America to prepare for the whatever is coming ahead. We don't know what the future is, but we do know that we are definitely, as you said, are countercultural today, unfortunately. Overall, has persecution of Christians around the world intensified in recent years?
You know, I think it has, and I think part of that story is a good side. The good side of that story is part of the reason we see an increase in persecution is because there are more Christians living in hostile and restricted nations. I mean, we've talked about Iran.
Mm-hmm.
There are more Christians in Iran today than there were a year ago, certainly more than there were 10 years ago. So there are more potential targets for persecution. And so that's part of the story of increased persecution. But the other part is governments that are redoubling their efforts, and I think particularly of China. China is significantly worse as far as religious freedom today than it was 2 years ago or 5 years ago.
Wow.
And where, you know, we used to talk about, sure, in this province of China, there's a lot of persecution, but hey, look over here, the church is operating without interference. Mm-hmm. They're really operating as if it was an open country.
Yeah.
Today, we can't say that. Today, we say persecution is happening all over China. It is controlled by the national government. They are sending the orders. They are setting the agenda. And they want to control the hearts and minds of China's people. And they see the church as a direct threat to their control. And so we see crackdowns. We see pastors in jail. I think of Pastor Wang Yi, who is serving 9 years in prison for leading an unregistered church in China. That's the longest prison sentence we have seen in a number of years in China.
Yeah.
And so certainly China is one example of places where it is getting significantly worse for the church.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that Chinese prisons are not as well kept, or the prisoners are not as well fed in Chinese prisons as they are here in the U.S.?
It is a very difficult to be in prison in China. Yeah. The food is limited. Most prisoners have some type of labor assignment where they are labor. In fact, they call it re-education through labor. They want to retrain you to think differently, to mm-hmm. think more like a communist. So we know that there is great suffering in those prisons.
Yeah.
But again, God is able to move even in prison, and God is able to open doors for witness. That's the story that our founder, Pastor Richard Wormbrand, tells. It's the story that others are living out even today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So China has become more restrictive even in the last couple of years. China has.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
China is definitely cracking down against the church.
Yeah. You know, that country is so big, it's hard to wrap my head around the ability of the Chinese communist government to control the people throughout that vast land. But if you have enough people who are brainwashed, shall we say, throughout the country, then I can see where the government would easily be able to infiltrate even the smallest village in China.
Well, the other thing is the level of surveillance is absolutely mind-boggling.
Mm.
The goal of the Chinese government is to be able to locate and identify any person on Chinese soil in 3 seconds.
3 seconds.
And so when you talk about literally hundreds of thousands of cameras that have facial recognition software attached to them, that's the level of oppression that is going on. And, you know, but even in the midst of that, there are heroic stories of our brothers and sisters. Earlier this year, we got word of a church in China that in the midst of the coronavirus, they saw that as an opportunity. They said, hey, everyone in China right now has to wear a mask, so the facial recognition cameras don't work as good
yeah.
if everyone's wearing a mask. So let's go out on the streets. Let's give out Bibles. Let's be bold, because right now the government can't see us.
Yeah.
They can't tell who
yeah,
we are.
True.
So even in the midst of that, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of a surveillance state, they are finding opportunities. And I think that's a great lesson for us. That's a great challenge for us that, you know, even if things don't seem to be going our way within the culture, where are there opportunities? Where are there ways we can advance the kingdom, even in the midst of that?
Yeah, that's a good point. American Christians tend to be timid to share their faith. The examples you're giving there in China is fantastic, that they've been able to use the coronavirus to further the kingdom through the face coverings. That's pretty good. I know the first Sunday in November, November 1st this year, was the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And the video that you guys had zeroed in on the Central African Republic. What is going on there?
Well, the Central African Republic is in the midst of a civil war, as different groups are fighting for control, fighting for authority and power within the government structure there. But in the midst of that civil war, Islamists are using that as sort of a pretext to target Christians, and especially to target pastors, to target church leaders. Right now, we know of about 30,000 Christians that are displaced within the country. They've had to flee their homes. They've had to flee their villages because of attacks by these Islamist militias. And so Voice of the Martyrs is helping them. They're helping them with ways to live, you know, a tarp to put over their head, a cooking pot to make dinner in, a place to sleep, some food to eat, those types of necessities. We are also providing them with spiritual encouragement, including Bibles, including training for their church leaders. How do we respond in the midst of a civil war? How do we respond to trauma? What do we do to help our church members who have gone through traumatic situations? So that is some of what is happening right now and the ways that Voice of the Martyrs is responding to help meet that need.
In Africa, it seems like it's the Muslims who are the aggressors, who are the ones attacking Christians. Seems like in the various countries in Africa that they are seeking to turn Africa into the entire continent into a Muslim state. In Africa, to make the entire continent of Africa Muslim. That's the way I'm looking at it. I know there's different parts of Africa that are more hot spots when it comes to Muslims attacking Christians, but it seems like Africa has become a primary target of the Muslims.
There is a growing wave of Islam in Africa. There is one good news story in the midst of that, though, and I had Sean Patton, our Africa Regional Director on Voice of the Martyrs Radio, just a few weeks ago, and he said, you know, that there's a lot of places in Africa, like you talk about, where we see a growing Islamic influence. We see growing persecution. He said the one bright spot is the nation of Sudan, and Sudan had an Islamist overthrew him last year. They have put in power a transitional council that is supposed to take them towards elections. But even in the last few months, they have overturned the apostasy law, which made it illegal for a Muslim to change their faith. So they got rid of that law. They have signed an agreement not to base any new laws on Sharia law, but to make laws that apply equally to every citizen, just based on Islamic theology. So, you know, like you say, there absolutely is a lot of places we need to pray for in Africa. Sudan is one that we can point to and say, wow, Lord, you seem to be working. You seem to be answering our prayers. And so that's a good news, a bright spot within the African continent.
Yeah, that's very good news because I've been following some of the stories out of Africa because I get your monthly magazine, which, you know, gives horrendous stories in some cases, but also gives stories of victory, such as here in Sudan. So that's very good. What kind of tools does Voice of the Martyrs offer to help us here in America to better understand the persecution, the real persecution that's going on around the world?
You know, there are lots of tools, and you just mentioned the Voice of the Martyrs magazine. That's at the top of the list. That's what I would encourage every single listener to sign up for. You can go to persecution.com, which is our website, persecution.com, and right at the top of the page, there's a button that says free magazine. Just click on that, sign up. We would love to send you that magazine to help you understand what's going on, to help you know the stories. And like I say, not just stories of suffering, but stories of victory, stories of Christians overcoming persecution to continue to advance the gospel. Voice of the Martyrs Radio is my particular part of the ministry. I'd love to have people listen. You can listen. You can find a broadcast station. You can listen online. You can listen to it as a podcast. The other thing I would point people to is a website, another website, iCommitToPray.com. iCommitToPray.com. Every week we post new prayer requests, and you can actually sign up and we'll email those to you. So every week there are fresh stories, fresh prayer requests, and that's something you can print out and take with you to your Sunday school class. You can share it with your Bible study group, and it just equips you to pray all throughout the year. We mentioned earlier, this is the season of the International Day of Prayer for Persecuted Christians. That's one day a year. The challenge is we want people, and they want people, to pray throughout the year. So iCommitToPray.com is a great tool to help you pray throughout the year, to help you know how to pray all year long for our persecuted brothers and sisters.
iCommitToPray.com. And that's two spelled out. Because what is the first request of those who are persecuted for their faith?
It's for prayer. It is absolutely for prayer. And I have been to many of these countries. I sit down with Christians and hear their stories, and I say, okay, I'm going back to America. I'm going to do radio interviews like this one. What can I tell American Christians to do for you? How can we help you? The first answer to that question every single time is pray for us.
Wow.
And the challenge to me, and I think a little bit convicting, is their prayer request is not, hey, will you pray that we won't be persecuted mm-hmm. anymore? Their prayer request is, will you pray that I'll be faithful to Christ in spite of persecution,
yeah.
in spite of the suffering that I'm facing? And so that's a convicting prayer request, but absolutely their number one request is, will you pray for us? And all of us can do that. It doesn't cost anything. It's easy. All of us can do it. Pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting because they're not praying for food or clothing or shelter. They're praying that they will be able to remain faithful through the persecution.
Absolutely.
That's something that we here in America need to recognize, that it's the most important thing, that we remain faithful in whatever harassment, because like you said, I think that at this point in America, it's more harassment for our faith than it is for real persecution at this point. But we need to also remember that there's real persecution out there around the world. People are suffering because they believe in Christ. And in many cases, you mentioned Sudan got rid of the apostate law. But in other countries, especially where the Muslims have taken over or are working towards that goal, they've made it illegal to convert. If you're a Muslim, it's illegal to convert to Christianity or any other religion except Islam. And they can be, you know, families disown them. They can be killed for their choice to follow Christ rather than Allah. It's a lot of persecution out there that we just don't understand as Americans. And I know,
you know,
that...
Diane, I think it's really significant that you mentioned families because, you know, in a lot of Islamic countries, that is the first line of persecution. It's your dad. It's your big brother. It's somebody who says, listen, we're a Muslim family. If you're a Muslim, then you can be part of our family. But if you're not a Muslim, you're not part of our family anymore. You're out of here. You can't live here. We're mm-hmm. not going to have any contact with you. And I think as Americans, we can sort of picture what that means to be cut off from your family. But in a lot of Islamic cultures, the family unit is everything. The way you get your education, the way you make contacts to get a job, all of that comes through your family connections. And when the family cuts you off, literally you have nothing. You have absolutely nothing. And that's if they just cut you off. There are situations where the family says, listen, you need to return to Islam or we're going to kill you because mm-hmm. you have brought so much shame on our family. The only way that we can alleviate that shame is if we kill you, if we take your life. So I'm so glad you brought up that because it is, for many, in many situations, it is the first line of persecution. It's your own family members who are coming after you.
Yeah. Again, we here in America have no idea what persecution is about. I'm very thankful for your ministry because that points us or that exposes the persecution that's taking place around the world, and it helps us to understand what we can do. You know, praying, supporting ministries like Voice of the Martyrs to provide them with, like as you mentioned earlier, shelter there in the Central African Republic, providing persecuted Christians who've been chased from their homes. They've been, you know, shot at. Their homes have been destroyed. Their churches have been destroyed. Entire Christian villages have been wiped out. And they've had to flee. And I think you said 30,000? Was that 30 or 300,000? I can't remember what number.
30,000 just in the Central African Republic.
Okay.
And there are others in other countries as well.
Right. Oh, yeah. And when you see the circumstances upon which they are forced to live in tents with no real permanent home, it's just very temporary, but that's how they have to live because of their faith in Christ. That's what it boils down to. So how's the best way that they can contact you to get more information about Voice of the Martyrs and things that we can do to help the persecuted church?
Well, the best place to start is our website, persecution.com. From there are links to different ways you can give. There are links to VOM Radio. There's the sign up button for the Voice of the Martyrs magazine. But all of that can begin at persecution.com.
Okay, persecution.com. And then icommittopray.com, you get actual prayer requests from those who are being persecuted.
Absolutely.
Okay, fantastic. And I do encourage your listeners to go to persecution.com for more information about the persecuted church, and then to go to icommittopray.com for specific prayer requests that you can pray about. Thanks, Todd, for being with us. I really appreciate it. And you guys keep up the good work and keep us informed about, you know, all this that's going on around the world. I appreciate it.
We will do that. Thank you so much.
Okay. Hey, take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.